This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. We continue to follow the mystery of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, and we've had some new developments in the last 24 hours, and I've asked Mary Schiavo to join me here again. She's a former Inspector General of the Department of Transportation, now an aviation attorney. Mary was on with me 1 week ago today when this mystery was just beginning. Mary, welcome back to America Weekend.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So let me mention some of the stories that have come out here, or some of the details that have come out in the last 24 hours or so, and you give me your reaction and what you think might be right or wrong about them, okay?
Okay.
One of them is that this flight was apparently turned and controlled by people on board, that it was not something that just happened to the plane, because there's now evidence that it turned twice, and at one point it climbed to 45,000 feet and then dove perhaps as low as 23,000 feet. What's your take on that much so far?
Well, that much so far is any data or any news or any evidence is helpful and good, because there just is not much to go on. But I've looked at the data, and the problem is the data conflicts itself. At one point, the turns have the plane going north, and now people are saying towards Kazakhstan. I doubt that. The other one has it going south, and the only thing in the directions it's headed as it's going south is Antarctica, where even if you did have permission to land, you can't land there except in December and January. So the data is very conflicting. That's not to say that there isn't a good, you know, bit of truth in the data, but it's going to take China and the United States, who I believe are now sharing and analyzing the data, it's going to take them some more time to sort out the data noise, because right now there's too much noise. So I don't think they have a good flight path yet. I think that they will, perhaps by Monday, maybe over the weekend.
What about this altitude change, up and down? There's one report that investigators have looked at some data from the plane's Rolls-Royce engines showing it descending 40,000 feet in 1 minute. Can a 777 do that?
No, that's not even possible. The problem, you know, with that is you can't descend that fast either in a controlled dive, the plane would come apart, or not even in a free fall. If you had stalled the plane and it was falling like a leaf, not that fast. So that data is not accurate.
Okay. What about the reports that there were people on board and that one of them, there may have been multiple people on board who were taking control of this plane, and that they must have had access to the belly of the plane because they had to get down there to turn off some of the electronic signaling devices that are on board that plane, which give away the plane's location. Could they do that?
They could, but not with just a couple people. That's the hardest one to get my arms around, because the access door to the belly of the plane is back in the passenger cabin. And after working on the 9/11 litigation for 11 years, and seeing the reaction of the passengers and knowing how people acted on all four planes there, they fought back. So if hijackers took control of the plane, unless they had a virtual arsenal of weaponry, the passengers would have fought back. So they come back to go down into the belly of the plane. That means they had to have an engineer. That means they had to have tools. That means they had to have passenger control personnel, hijackers, and they had to have weapons. That means, without a doubt, it had to be an inside job at Malaysia Air. And I don't think Malaysia's ready to say that.
So there's no way for them to get down there through a floor panel in the cockpit?
No, there is not.
Okay.
No such thing.
All right. We know from
problem.
Yeah, we know from previous cases where there have been hijackings that there's usually somebody who says, "Yeah, I did that," or "Our group did that." But we haven't heard that yet. What does that tell you?
Well, actually, no. There are some cases of terrorism and hijacking where no one has claimed responsibility.
Oh.
And remember, in the case of Pan Am 103, it took 20 years before Libya accepted responsibility. So the absence of anything just yet is, to me, not telling.
Okay. Let me go back to the signaling devices that they turned off, supposedly. Again, we have to say allegedly, supposedly, because we don't know for a fact what happened here, but we know that the signals stopped coming, and we assume that they were turned off by human beings. Why do we have devices like that that human beings can turn off?
Yeah, that's the most excellent point of all. The theory goes that, well, if there was a malfunction on the transponder, we could turn it off, and that would be the reason. Or if we're in an area of airspace where there's lots of chatter, or we're on the ground, we don't want to add to the chatter with the transponder. Now that we have moved, or we're moving, to the new air traffic control system called NextGen, which relies entirely on signals that the plane puts out automatically, that has to change immediately. Oh, and by the way, the Federal Aviation Administration, yes, our very own, says you don't even need a transponder to fly, by the way, and it's not mandatory for the majority of airplanes in this country. So that is the most ridiculous regulation and policy that we have in the United States, and has to change immediately. And also, the plane would have been able to tell investigators precisely where it was and what was going on if Malaysia Air had subscribed to the data link system that comes equipped on the plane. They did not. It was that system that gave us the clues within a day what happened to Air France 447, the Rio to Paris flight. Air France was least responsible enough to pay for that system and had that system. That was what told us what happened. They didn't find the black boxes for 2 years.
I am shocked that we don't, in 2014, have a system to know where every plane on the planet is at all times, so that if there is a problem, we can go to that place.
And not only are you shocked that we don't have it in 2014, the world should be outraged, especially Americans. We should be outraged that after September 11, 2001, we don't have such a system, because there was a huge discussion and debate that we should have downstreaming. It should be, data links should be continuous, and this information should be downloaded from the plane before it crashes, because remember, there were no black boxes. They were destroyed in the World Trade Center, so we didn't have anything from those. And if we'd had onboard streaming video, which is perfectly capable, you can do it with your cell phone right now, that we would have known what was going on. Instead, we had to rely on, and thank God they did this, the very brave passengers who managed to get cell phones out and tell us what was going on these planes. That's how we found out. And for us to be, now we are 13 years post 9/11, we still don't require it.
Yeah. We keep talking about 9/11 because we all remember the devastation done by those planes on that day. Is it possible that whoever took this 777, Malaysian Airlines 370, has taken it somewhere with the hopes of doing something like that with that plane later on?
Well, this is what was probably the most troubling thing to me of all. If it's a similar group, if it's some of the same people, then we've spent ourselves into a pretty significant deficit on providing excellent satellite coverage, drones. We could read the license plate on the driver's car for Osama bin Laden before they got him, remember?
Yep.
And if they could take that plane to somewhere, and a 747 is just a little bit smaller than a 777, is just a little bit smaller than a 747. And so if they can take that to their Al-Qaeda-friendly nations and land it, and none of our satellites have seen it, I think that the CIA, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the Commander-in-Chief have some explaining to do.
Yeah, we also didn't see the Russians going into Crimea, so we're looking...
Well, we saw them. Our satellites saw it. Our satellites reported the buildup and all that. The intelligence function didn't analyze it, but we saw it. And I'm talking about actually seeing it from our satellites. I'm talking seeing in the literal sense, not in the intellectual sense. Literally, we should have been able to see that plane from our satellites and surveillance if it went into any nation that supports terrorism.
If this were a hijacking, how many people does it take to do that?
Many. They couldn't have done it with just one or two people, because you've got to have somebody in the plane. And, from the pilot's flight hours, the real pilot on this plane had 18,000 flight hours. That is so many. This flight path, and again, the data's corrupted. I think they have to sort it out some more. But if this is the flight path, a pilot with 18,000 hours wouldn't do this kind of flying. So I really think it has to be some other people from the plane if it's terrorism. So they would have needed somebody to fly, somebody to be disabling all this equipment, somebody to get down in the in the cockpits, and another person to get down in the belly of the plane, somebody to control the passengers. And so without a doubt, they needed equipment. They needed enough people on board to carry this out. And remember, on the September 11 planes, there were 5 hijackers on the ones that met their target. On the one that did not meet its target, there were 4. They were one short. And eventually, before the plane crashed, they got scared of the passengers, and they all huddled in the cockpit and barricaded themselves in the cockpit. So even with 4, they couldn't carry it out,
yeah.
And they didn't have to get in the belly of the plane.
Well, the Prime Minister of Malaysia believes that deliberate action was taken, although from what the people of Malaysia have been telling us over the last week, I'm not sure that we can take anything they say without a huge grain of salt. But there are going to be more developments as the weekend goes along. And Mary Schiavo, I always appreciate your expertise. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
Mary Schiavo is now an aviation attorney. She represents defendants. She represents people in lawsuits involving plane crashes, etc. Former Inspector General at the Department of Transportation. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.
America Weekend.